28. We're looking at a scriptural summary of hell. So Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening and for each one who made it out tonight. And we thank you for the opportunity to be back into your word again. And Father, this is a subject that's not discussed much anymore. It seems like many, many pulpits don't want to discuss that there is a hell and that it is a literal place and that people, when they die, are spending eternity there. But Father, it's important that we know about this place and we warn people about the impending danger that faces them if they don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So I pray, Father, that we would be faithful and always remembering to preach all your word, to teach about all aspects of it, not just the stuff that sounds good and is all about love and joy and peace, but there's some stuff, Father, that we need to know about judgment as well. And so we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this scriptural summary of hell is adapted from the Wilmington's Guide to the Bible in pages 681 through 685. The first is denying the doctrine. Rationalism. Those who deny the existence of God and each of our origin can be explained by science and evolution obviously deny the existence of hell. I was listening to a program the other day on the radio as I was driving, and they were talking about this Big Bang theory that happened billions of years ago and all, and the guy who's reporting on this is talking about what's being taught in our schools and all, and then he says, wait a minute, that didn't happen. He said, that's not even accurate. He says, the Bible tells us, and then he went on to tell about creation. And I said, praise the Lord, right? We need our children in our schools to start hearing about creation and not this Big Bang theory. Then the real question is why? It is truly science and the evidence evolution that led to their conclusions, or did their conclusions lead them to evolution based on pseudoscience? These two enlightening quotes help us to discover the answer. The first one, Charles Darwin, and I quote, I can hardly see how anyone ought to wish Christianity to be true. For, if so, the plain language of the text seems to show that the men who do not believe, and this would include my father, brother, and almost all my best friends, would be everlastingly punished, and this is a damnable doctrine. Now, let's remember that Charles Darwin did refute that, right? And then again, Darwin's theory, I suppose, and I quote, I suppose the reason we leaped at the origin of the species was because the idea of God interfered with our sexual morals. Sir Julian Huxley, head of UNESCO, descendant of Thomas Huxley, popularizer of Darwin's theory, and one of the world's leading evolutionists. In other words, the theory of evolution was originated and is held by its leading proponents because they rejected the idea that God had the right to condemn their sin or judge their souls. Well, yeah, you've got to decide that God cannot be the one that's the ultimate authority, right? Because if he is, then you're in trouble, right? You're in big trouble. Then the ridicule. Those who have no evidence or arguments often resort to this to defy a truth they despise. And religion, liberalism, a God of love would never send anyone to hell. I love that argument. Because the rebuttal to that is, you're right, he doesn't send anyone to hell. He's given everybody a chance to accept Christ as Savior and spend eternity with him instead of eternity in a place called hell. which will eventually be cast into the lake of fire, as we all know. So he always gives. So God doesn't send anyone there. They willfully go there by rejecting Christ. And then Christian Science Church, hell is error of the moral mind. Jehovah Witnesses, the wicked will be annihilated. Yeah, that's not happening either. Mormons, hell is temporary. Seventh-day Adventist, believe in annihilation. Catholics, four options: heaven, hell, limbo, and purgatory. If you've ever talked to a Catholic that's a staunch Catholic, I mean, many people who profess to be Catholic have no idea what Catholics believe. They just know that, you know, great grandma and great grandpa Moses and Miriam or whatever, you know, we're Catholics, so then down through the history, we all are, and everybody, you know, I like the theory where some people have told me when you knock on doors, I was born a Catholic and I'm going to die a Catholic. Is that the way that works? I have to tell you, I was born a child of God, but not until I accepted Christ the Savior, which didn't happen at my natural birth, by the way. And then the doctrine of hell, the background of Gehenna, hell, biblical references. Look at Matthew 5, verse 22. 5:22 says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." And then drop down to verses 29 and 30 of this same chapter. It says, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell." And then Matthew 18:19. We've got several verses on this subject of references to hell in the Bible. Matthew 18 and verse 9. And this one follows the same basic principle. "And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." In Matthew chapter 23, verses 15, then we'll drop down, 23, verse 15, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him in... make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." And then drop down to verse 33 of that, where he says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" And turn to Mark chapter 9 and verse 43. I've mentioned many times that the Bible has a lot to say about hell. Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." And then 45 of that same chapter says, "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." And the last of that section is verse 47. "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." It's interesting how God repeats himself over and over and over, because he wants us to understand how important it is to know that we don't want to go to hell. And there's a lot of people who say, well, I don't want to go to hell. Well, that's not the only reason to get saved, just because you don't want to go to hell. But there's a lot of preaching that it's based on trying to scare them into heaven. And, you know, again, they have the choice. We give them the warning. They have a choice to determine where they want to go. Look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. Luke 12 and verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And then James 3, 6. James 3, 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And 11 of these 12 references are from Jesus himself, and I left out the one that we started with as our reference when we kicked off, but that made 12 total. And 11 of them, Jesus himself said those. If you have a red-letter Bible, you'd see that those 11 were all in red. And then Gehenna, hell, is the eternal lake of fire into which death and hell are cast after the great white throne judgment. Look at Revelation 20, please. We'll look at verses 14 and 15. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Gehenna means valley of Hinnom and refers to deep, narrow valley south of Jerusalem where human sacrifice by fire was practiced in the Old Testament. I have several verses from that. Look at 2 Chronicles 28. Verses 1 through 4. It says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen, who the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also, and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. And we have 2 Kings 23. Second Kings chapter 23 and verse 10. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Moloch. And then Jeremiah chapter 7. Verses 31 through 33. Jeremiah 7, starting in verse 31, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then next one is 2 Chronicles 33:6. It says, "And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." The time of the Babylonian captivity, many of the captives, particularly the old, weak, or sickly, were slaughtered in this valley. In the days of Christ, the city garbage dump was located there, and it was thus a place of continual burnings and flames. The Romans slaughtered Jews here in AD 70, and as many as 600,000 were buried there. It was thus a place of filth, sorrow, wailing, death, smoke, pain, worms, stench, horror, sin, and fire, a perfect picture of hell. Interesting that they would burn their children. They would kill their elderly. Sound like anything that sounds familiar today? What do they want to do? As many of us are getting closer to retirement, right? Closer to that age where they say the elderly are just a drain on society. See, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with robbing the Social Security, because there's going to be more people on it than money going into it. So what do? Their plan is to get rid of the elderly. It's not new. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible tells us that. But it's interesting that that is what was going on then, and it's what we're faced with today. Then the location of hell, Hades, temporary hell until the judgment, seems to be pictured as in the heart of the earth. Look at Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16 and verses 32 through 33. "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation." Gehenna, permanent hell after the great white throne judgment, seems to be located away from this earth, a place of outer darkness, perhaps in a remote spot near the edge of God's universe. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. Matthew 8:12 says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then Matthew chapter 22 and verse 13. "Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then chapter 25 and verse 30. Where it says, Matthew 25:30, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then we've got two more in this section. Look at 2 Peter 2:17. Says, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. And then Jude, verse 13. Jude 13 says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Then the nature and characteristics of hell. Hell is a place of unquenchable fire. Turn back to Matthew again, chapter 3 and verse 12. Matthew 3:12 says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And Matthew 13, 41 and 42. Says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then Mark chapter 9 and verse 43. Mark 9:43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Never shall be quenched. And then hell is a place of memory and remorse. And hell is a place of thirst. Look at Luke 16. Luke 16, we'll look at 19 through 31. No, that's not right. Mark, yes, Luke. I'm in the wrong book, sorry. Luke 16, 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. All right, we're going to end there for tonight due to sake of time.